This episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber. Not your average heroes, the legend continues. And ladies and gentlemen, here we are with another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. I am the main event player, the Super C, the God among gods, the King among kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch, weak walking God's green earth. Oh my God, I almost lost my line there. Shit. We've got a lot we need to talk about. This is sort of a grand slam episode, if you know what I mean, because obviously we're going to get back into the results of what happened at AEW's Grand Slam, both of them that took place, one on this past Wednesday, which I've only saw two of the matches, but I'll get into those two matches in just a moment. Of course, I had a chance to see AEW Rampage that took place, which was also a part of the Grand Slam event as well. Of course, we've got Extreme Rules coming up this Sunday, live as it happens on pay-per-view. How is it that we have this many Extreme Rules matches, but yet there's only one match at Extreme Rules? You know? That's nuts. It's insane. Also, big shout out to Emo Night and everything. We're going to be talking about them on the show as well from this past Saturday night's epic Emo Night, as always, and everything, and so much more. So, before we get into this whole situation, and obviously we're going to be playing some music here in a moment, big shout out, big happy birthday. I got two happy birthdays today. One involves, well, today's the 25th, right? The 25th. So that means it's, let me see if memory serves me correctly here. There's actually two birthday shout-outs. Actually, I think if memory serves me... Okay, I'm going to try and get all these happy birthdays out of the way, and I know who these people are if they're listening to this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Okay, so we'll start off in the order I think we should start off with. We'll start off with September 25th as of today. Now, first happy birthday shout-out goes out to the big boss himself, Dominic. Now, some of you probably don't know who Dom is or anything else like that. He's an old friend of ours that we've known for many, many years. He used to run Equalize. I think he still runs Equalize. He always does an Equalize show every single time on the at the House of Rock every Christmas. Every day of Christmas and everything else like that, which is pretty cool. Big happy birthday goes out to him. Also, happy birthday goes out to Deborah Ledesma, who is also another close friend of the Main Event, and also, I believe, the cousin of Mark Anthony Pantoja, my best friend, my longtime best friend, who is also a member of the Southern Revival. And also another happy birthday shout-out goes out to Gabriel Pantoja, who is also Antoine's brother, someone I've known for a very, very long time, was over in San Antonio, Texas. And Gabriel, Deborah, happy birthday to the both of you. Hope you guys are having a good time. And make sure Early does not get into too much trouble. You know how she gets. And everything. And of course, we gotta leave the best for last. We gotta leave the best for last because just yesterday, and I promised him this, and I am doing it as of right now. Yesterday was the birthday of the best drummer on the planet, the best photographer in the business today, the best meteorologist going today, the best father, the best husband, at least Mick knows that every single step of the way. He is a member of Knife Party, a tribute to Deftones. He is also, and unless I can get actual full confirmation if he's the drummer for Conscientious, of course, he was also the drummer for the Periwinkle Massacre. The best drummer on the planet, and he's also the current United States champion, Damian Priest. Okay, it's not really Damian Priest, but it's the best drummer on the planet, John Luna. John Luna, happy birthday to you, my friend, and I hope you have yourself a great birthday and everything else like that. Of course, everyone's been wishing him a happy birthday and everything else like that. So, happy birthday to all of them, John Luna, Dominic, Gabriel Pantoja, and Deborah Ledesma. Hope you guys all have a tremendous birthday and everything else like that. And here's how we're going to kick off. You know what John Luna, the best drummer on the planet, have in common with Megadeth's Rust in Peace? They were both released on the same day. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, September 24th, 1991, was the release of one of Megadeth's masterpiece, Rust in Peace, which features several songs like Holy Wars of Punishment Due, Dawn Patrol, what was the other songs that I remember? Tornado of Souls, Five Magics, and this song that we're about to play right now. This is a live version back in 2008 over in San Diego. This is Megadeth doing Hangar 18.
Thank you.
was Megadeth doing their version of Hangar 18 live over in San Diego, California. Still love the song, dig it to this day. It is unbelievable that this album was released back in 1991, which is going on its 31st anniversary. Last year was the 30th anniversary of the episode of the album of Rust in Peace. This was one of Megadeth's masterpiece albums, and every single song on here, everything from the song we just heard, Hangar 18, to Rust in Peace, Five Magics, Tornado of Souls, and all the other songs. If you've never heard this album, or if you've never seen the videos, check out the videos over on YouTube. I have several of Megadeth's DVDs here at the house. Some that I've seen a couple of times before, and I wouldn't mind getting back onto it again. And of course, some that I believe, which one was it? I think it was 2001. I think it was called Wake Up Something Live. I think this was before when Megadeth, Dave Mustaine, had his arm hurt and was set to never play guitar ever again. But then all of a sudden he persevered. He came back in the next few years, and then all of a sudden he would release the album. I think it was called Not the World Needs a Hero. The System is Down. I think that's what it was called. But anyways, if you want to listen to Hangar 18 and listen to Holy Wars and everything else like that, go over to YouTube, go over to Spotify, or wherever it is you find your favorite music. It was, you know, tremendous check out. Love the album. Okay, there's a couple things we need to talk about. Obviously, we got to talk about Extreme Rules coming up this Sunday. I'm going to be doing an episode on that later on, right after this episode. Maybe, if I can, to give you my predictions on everything, all the matches and stuff like that there. Of course, we've got the Grand Slam, which took place Wednesday and took place this past Friday and everything. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And I also want to give a big shout out over to Emo Night. If you guys had a chance to go over to Emo Night this past Saturday night, it was epic as always. Big shout out to Ryan. I think it's Alvarez. I think Ryan Alvarez. I need to get my name straightened out and everything else like that. But anyways, a big shout out to Ryan and everything. Tremendous job with Emo Night and everything. Me and him had an opportunity to meet with each other for the first time. He explained to me everything about the concept of Emo Night and what he planned on doing that night. And it was epic. Loved the music. Loved the atmosphere. It was tremendous. I went ahead and I was taking pictures of everything that I saw around me. I even did some video and everything else like that, and I couldn't post it all on Facebook because of copyright issues, because there were certain songs like I think it was System of the Downs. I forgot what that song was called. But anyways, when that song came on, I played it on Facebook first, right? But then all of a sudden they muted it because of the song and the title and everything. So I decided to take it off because it was only like a 28-second video. So I took the video and I took it over to my Instagram stories, where I know they're not going to delete me on that one for any reason whatsoever, right? So I went ahead and posted that and posted other videos as well. So there's several pictures that I've sent over to the Emo Night crew, which I'm a part of that group also, and send it over. There was a photographer over there that was taking pictures all around the place. It was a tremendous atmosphere. A lot of hot women. I could, if anybody wonders about why I took that one picture of that hot chick over there. Well, then again, there were several hot chicks over there, so what do you expect? So big shout out over to Ryan. Big shout out over the members of Emo Night. And also, I think I was trying to remember who else, because one of the, I think his name is David, and big shout out to you, just to let you know, this guy who was up on stage, and he was doing all the work and everything else like that. I saw him go up on the ladder and everything, you know, trying to get everything prepared for the show and everything, and he came by, and he said, "Oh, hey, you're Furman, hey, I'm David," and everything, and you know, just walked on by and everything. So I think that was, because he was wearing a jersey and shorts, a little bit dark complected, kind of tanned complected, everything else like that. But anyways, big shout out to you, David. Big shout out to Ryan. Big shout out to everyone over at Emo Night. And I know the question has got to be in everyone's mind as to whether or not Emo Night is returning. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to inform you, and this was already posted. Thanks to Emo Night, and I'll be promoting this from here on out. Emo Night is returning on October 16th, which is on a Saturday, and I'm gonna try and make the event. And let me explain why I'm a bit hesitant about that one, because I have a best friend who's having a birthday coming up on the 18th, and I'm not going to be able to spend time with him on a Monday, but I want to try and spend time with him on that birthday at least. I would bring him over to Emo Night, I would, but I have my reasons, and I think some people know who it is. But anyways, big shout out to Emo Night, big shout out to everyone, tremendous night last week, and hopefully if you guys had an opportunity to go over to Emo Night, I thank you guys for being a part of it. Thank you, Emo Night, so much. And, of course, Rich's Billiards. You guys did a tremendous job, as always. You did great. You did tremendous. I love it. It was everything I expected and more. You got the bar fully staffed. You got the door guys ready to go. And I thought I saw Don out there, you know, beating the living shit out of some people inside the mosh pit. Big shout out over to Headbanger Incorporated's head of security at Don Pena. Hope you guys had a good time and can't wait to see you guys on October 16th on Saturday. It's going to be tremendous and everything else like that. And speaking of Richard's Billiards, to anyone that's interested, because right now I'm on the website as we speak, the UFC website, because as you guys know, UFC 266 is going to be taking place tonight live on pay-per-view. And if you guys got nothing to do on a Saturday night and you want to check out some great UFC action, go over to Richard's Billiards and check out UFC 266. If I'm pronouncing this incorrectly, I apologize. It's Volkanovski, I think that's what his name is, versus Ortega. That's going to be happening tonight, okay? Alexander Ortega against Brian Ortega. The next matchup is Valentina Shevchenko against Lauren Murphy. This is the matchup everyone's going to be anticipating to check out. Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler. Curtis Blades taking on Jair Zero. I can't even pronounce these names correctly. They're the strangest names in the world, but it's crazy. But yeah, that's going to be happening. Heavyweight bout's going to be taking place as well. Jessica Andrade taking on Cynthia Calavito. Wow. Damn. Cynthia looks hot and everything. And that's just some of the cards that are going to be taking place so far. Now, just to let everybody know, I'm not sure if Rich's Billiards is going to be having the preliminaries over there. I'll be checking out the preliminaries probably here at the house. I don't know if I plan on showing up over at Rich's Billiards to check out the fight. I'm definitely going to be checking out the fight over here tonight, over here at my house. So get a chance to check out 266 from the UFC over at Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber. Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues. I believe it's going to be no cover. 18 and up are welcome with proper ID. I believe masks are optional unless they tell me otherwise and everything. It should be a great night of UFC action. Oh, and also, and just to get one more plug in for Rich's Billiards, and this is going to be very, very bad for me and very bad for every single wrestling fan and very bad for every single cowboy fan out there, because as you guys know, the Eagles will be taking on the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. So if you guys are interested in checking out the Dallas Cowboys, and if you're interested in seeing them beat the shit out of the fucking Philadelphia Eagles, I got news for you. It's going to happen, all right? And I know that there's a couple of Eagles fans that I know that are friends of mine, and all I can tell you guys straight up is you suck, and we're going to beat your ass to the fucking ground. The Dallas Cowboys taking on the Eagles. You can check that out over at Richard's Billiards, 5815 Weber. Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues. And I think I've plugged in everything I needed to do for Richard's Billiards. We talked about Emo Night. We talked about the UFC 266 taking place tonight. And also, of course, if you want to check out the Eagles versus the Cowboys, you can check it out over at Rich's Billiards. Once again, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues. Richard, you're going to have to owe me 95 beers the next time I come over to Rich's Billiards. But anyways, okay. Now that we got that Grand Slam out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about Grand Slam. Let's talk about some of the matches here. Now, I'm not going to Now, there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is I'll be able to tell you all the results of the matches. The bad news is only I checked out Rampage last night. It was epic. It was great. I couldn't tell you anything about what took place at the start of the show. So let me go ahead and get this out of the way here. There are two matches I want to talk about that took place this past Wednesday, and two of the matches here. So I'm going to give you all the results of all the matches that took place at AEW Grand Slam. Now, here's the show for Dynamite on September 22nd. Now, right here it says there are 8 matches, but only 5 of the matches were televised on TV. Now, here are the ones that were not televised on Dynamite. Thunder Rosa had a match with Kayla Sparks. Thunder Rosa defeated her in the middle of the ring. Paul White had a match against Ricky Shane Page. CPA and VSK. Don't know. Oh, it's a 3-on-1 handicap match. Okay, so 3 guys against 1. Paul White won the match. That was it. It was order. It was out the window. 8-man tag team matchup. Members of the Dark Order defeated the team of Dean Alexander, Kevin Tibbs, TJ Crawford, and Eric James. Now, these were the matches that took place before the actual Grand Slam started. Now, I'm going to go through all the matches. I'm going to give you the winners and losers of all of them. But I'm going to have to get back on most of this anyway, just to give you guys a little critique here. The first matchup that started was Kenny Omega taking on Bryan Danielson. The most epic match that everyone's been talking about. This ended in a time limit draw, which we will explain in a moment. MJF went one-on-one against Brian Pillman Jr. MJF defeated him in submission. Malakai Black, one-on-one against Cody Rhodes. Malakai defeated Cody Rhodes for the second time, I think? Yeah, second time. Sting and Darby Allin defeated FTR by submission. And, of course, the main event was Dr. Britt Baker. DMD, AEW Women's World Champion, defeating Ruby Soho. This was the match I saw. And the other match, Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson, that's the other match I saw as well. Now, let me continue on so that way we can go ahead and get this out of the way here. And this took place last night at Rampage. CM Punk defeated Powerhouse Hobbs. Willie Hobbs, baby. The next one was a 6-man tag team matchup featuring the members of the Super Click taking on Jurassic Express and Christian Cage. The winners, the Super Click of Adam Cole, the Young Bucks. Why are they called the Super Click? Clearly, they should be just called the Super Elite. You know why? Because the Click belongs to Shawn Michaels, you fucking morons. But there'll be a lawsuit in that coming up real soon. Don't worry about it. The next matchup, Scarlett defeated Anna Jay. Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford defeated Anna Jay. Is it just me, or does Penelope Ford look a lot like Scarlett? Oh, and speaking of Scarlett, and I want to go ahead and get this out of the way. Congratulations go out to Scarlett and Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross, I guess, popped the big question, and Scarlett said yes. Big shout out to Karrion Kross and to Scarlett, and I'm happy for the both of them. I'm glad they're engaged, and I hope they don't do anything bad to Karrion Kross. That dude has all the potential in the fucking world, but we'll discuss that another time. And, of course, the last matchup was the Lights Out match. Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston featuring Suzuki Gunn in Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer. Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston defeated that team. Okay, those are all the results. Now let me give you my opinion on some of the matches. Now, we'll start off with the one on Wednesday night. Now, just to let everybody know, I did not get an opportunity to see the entire Grand Slam on Wednesday because I was working late. I had left, I think, Beeville. I showed up to the house right around 8:48, right? I showed up right around 8:48, so I only had a few minutes to check out the last matchup. Now, I thought the last match was going to be Bryan Danielson against Kenny Omega. I thought, we're going to see this matchup. I'm going to see how it ends. It's going to be fucking great. And as soon as I got there, I see Dr. Britt Baker taking on Ruby Soho for the AEW Women's Championship. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is a fucking rib, right? This is a fucking rib. You're telling me that this is the last match? When did they do this? Okay. When was Kenny Omega, Daniel Bryan? Apparently, it was the first match. Now, I'll admit this straight up. I think the first match was good. The fans got into it in a very high way. But am I the only one that realizes that this match should have been last? It should have been last. Come on. You advertise this fucking show and you have the world believing that this match was going to be last on the fucking card. Look, I understand wanting to break tradition and everything else like that. That's fine. AEW can break all the tradition in the world. But sometimes even they don't make sense of anything that they fucking do. All right? Now, to me, and I'll say this, I'm not saying the match sucks. No, I am not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. So, let me talk about this first match. Bryan Danielson against Kenny Omega. Epic match. Epic match. The crowd was into it. Once the bell rang, the crowd was cheering like a motherfucker. It was awesome. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my fucking life. The match, my prediction on the match was, if Bryan Danielson wins, it's not going to be a surprise. If Kenny Omega wins, it would absolutely suck, and what was the point of having this match in the first place? If they go by a double countout or time limit draw or anything in that particular nature, that would be smart because then you would continue on with the match and get it over to the next pay-per-view, which will be Full Gear. Saw the match. Epic. Highly anticipated. The crowd was into it. The internet was into it. They were all chanting, yes! They were all saying Kenny Omega sucks. They were all chanting for Daniel Bryan. I could see John Luna coming up on the air saying, beat the living shit out of Kenny Omega. And then the bell rang. And I'm not talking about the actual bell that started the match. I'm talking about the bell that happened at the end of the fucking match. Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, look. Everything was fine. Everything was good. Everything was just what it needed to be. But you couldn't keep track of the fucking time? Are you serious? Well, you know, and this is the part where all the internet morons decide to get in my fucking way. So they go ahead, right? The internet fans think that I don't know booking 101. You're right, I don't know booking 101, but I do know when a match needs to make fucking sense, it needs to make sense. Now, I'm going to make the exception for this one. Let me explain why. In most matches, especially when there's a time limit draw involved, usually, if the match lasts for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes or even to an hour, you have to at least let the audience know that there's 10 minutes left on the match, or 5 minutes left on the match, or even 3 minutes left on the match, just to get the crowd riled up and saying, God damn, what the fuck, dude? Hurry up, come on, let's get this match over with. We want to see a decisive winner. You gotta get the fans riled up. Look, there's nothing wrong with getting the fans lost. There's nothing wrong with getting the fans all mesmerized, all hypnotized, and in the match and everything, but come on, keep track of the fucking time. Come on. And look, this was the only takeaway that I had out of the matchup. I mean, look, everything was good. Everything was fine. Look, if your issue is the fact that, well, you're just not a pro wrestling fan, you're not getting lost in the moment. Look, I always get lost in the moment in wrestling, okay? I always do. But I have to keep track of the fucking time. You know? I mean, come on, think about it. How many championship matches do you know that have had a time limit draw and say we're in almost at the end of the hour and you got 5 minutes left and you got to finish up, 3 minutes left, you got to finish up, you're down to 1 minute, 60 seconds, the crowd is getting up on their feet, and why can't you just get the crowd to jump on their feet so that way, come on, somebody beat somebody, and everything, like say there's 5, 4, 3, 2, one time limit draw, bing, it's over, it's done, and then it ends up being a time limit draw, and the fans get pissed off. And they want more. They want more. They want more. Are you following along? What the fuck I'm trying to tell you here? That is what should have happened with this match. Everything was perfect. Everything was, well, I wouldn't say it was perfect. Everything was good. Everything was right. Everything was what you expected and more. But all of a sudden, it's like that doesn't fucking matter to the fucking wrestling morons. Not all the wrestling morons is a modern day idiots that don't fucking understand what we're trying to tell them. Even the veterans will tell you, dude, somebody should have kept track of the fucking time. But now, here's the thing. Now that it happened the way it happened, that means Kenny Omega didn't beat Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, or, and this is going to be the part where it's going to be hard to say, Bryan Danielson, when we want to keep calling him Daniel Bryan because we're so used to calling him that name, it's unbelievable, right? But anyways, now that this matchup has happened, and everyone's going to be, and I've already heard it, I've already read it, dude, we should have a 1 hour AEW championship matchup. No, you don't, you idiots, okay? Here's the reason why. Number one, it wouldn't surprise me if they do this match, right? But also, the condition that Daniel Bryan was in, it looked like he had not lost a step. I mean, you have to understand, the last match that Daniel Bryan had, and like I said before, I'm, you know, mentioning it by Daniel Bryan's name, but anyways, the last match that Bryan Danielson had was against Roman Reigns, right? That was his last match. That was what, 4, 5, 6 months ago, I think, that's when it happened? Yeah. So now Daniel Bryan is back, he looks great, he's in fighting shape, and it looked like he never lost a step. Now, the thing is, they don't want to overdo Daniel Bryan too much, okay? They don't want to overhype him. They don't want to put him in another match. They don't want to do any of that. What should happen, and this is just my prediction, this is just my thought of what will happen, if they do decide to get Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson, it should obviously be for the AEW World's Championship. It should take place over Full Gear, and it'll get a lot of people's attention, just like that. So, great match. Loved how it went down. The finish was exactly what it needed to be. But like I said before, if the timekeeper or the ring announcer were at least keep track of the time, then we would be like, oh, fuck, and just get the crowd all riled up and excited, you know? Instead of like, what the fuck? Because it almost felt like, when you look at the match closely, even though it was a 30-minute match, it felt like it was, what, 20 minutes? 30, 10 minutes, I think? That's what it felt like. And when the bell rang, it's like, it's over already? Are you fucking kidding me? That's the way it should be. But anyways, great match. Kenny Omega versus Bryan. And let me also add one other thing. Hold on a second. Let me have myself a drink here real quick. Drink it a Pepsi, by the way. It would be a beer, but I'll wait on that later. Am I the only one that's getting sick and tired of people saying, oh, this is going to be match of the year. Oh, this is going to be match of the year. Oh, fuck yeah, this is going to be match of the year. This is going to be the top, you know, the top talent for top match of the year. Dude, first of all, shut the fuck up with this match of the year bullshit, okay? Look, every match AEW counts. This is match of the year. This is match of the year. Look. I'm not looking for something that looks like it's going to be match of the year. I just want to see a fucking match. And if it's good, it's good. I'm not going to yell out and scream out the words, this is match of the year! You bunch of fucking marks. Come on, just watch the match, enjoy it. Don't call it match of the year till the end of the fucking year. Because it'll actually make fucking sense if you say, that's match of the year. That's okay. That's good. That needs to work. Throw that match out the fucking window. No one cares. Nonetheless, great match. Great match. So the next matchup I want to talk about is the one I saw at the end. Dr. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho. The main event for Grand Slam. The first Grand Slam that took place on Dynamite. It was a great match. And Ruby Soho deserves to be in this main event spotlight. And it's good, but also, this is also another takeaway that I'll say. I wish this match was first, and the Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson was last. You want to know why? Because if you put this match first, Dr. Britt Baker against Ruby Soho, and say, and this is the thing, I think a lot of people will agree with me when I say this. Dr. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho should have been a one-on-one match. Yeah, it should have been a one-on-one match. She didn't have to use up her title shot. She didn't. That could have been reserved for Full Gear. She would have had plenty of time to compete against some of the best, and then she could go ahead and go after Dr. Britt Baker. Because here's the thing. Ruby Soho becomes part of the main event of Grand Slam. It was epic. It was great. But now, you're left with the point, now what? Ruby Soho lost to Dr. Britt Baker. So now, is she going to get another championship match, or are they going to phase her out to obscurity? This was a big mistake as far as I'm concerned. It was a great match. It was a great moment for Ruby Soho. I dig it. But the problem is that I wanted to see Ruby Soho in a one-on-one match with Dr. Britt Baker, similar to what I see with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega, or Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega, however you see fit. But what I wanted to see, and this is just my thought on it, you let Ruby Soho and Dr. Britt Baker be the first match of Grand Slam, okay, just to keep things in the perspective. Then you don't make it a championship match. You don't make it a championship match at all. If anything, you let this match be one-on-one. You let this go a good 10, 20 minutes, possibly. A good 10 minutes for the women. This matchup will go far. This matchup will go good. Rebel and Jamie Hayter would get involved in the match. And then, you know, Dr. Britt Baker will probably, you know, get the glove out, you know, do what she does and everything. You know, try to, you know, get Breaker, you know, Dr. Britt Baker to cheat and win the matchup. And then say Ruby Soho is caught. And then all of a sudden Dr. Britt Baker hits, say, Rebel or Jamie Hayter. And then Ruby Soho goes ahead and gets a pinfall on Dr. Britt Baker at the Grand Slam event. And then you get the crowd to cheer and say, oh, fuck yeah, Ruby Soho wins. Ruby Soho wins. Fuck yeah. And then you get Ruby Soho to put up her title shot against Dr. Britt Baker at AEW's Full Gear for the Women's Championship. You set up a match where you get Ruby Soho over first. The championship does not have to be on the line. You get Ruby Soho to win the first match, right? And then you get her to face off against Dr. Britt Baker for the AEW Women's Championship. And then whatever happens after that at Full Gear is really up to AEW. Whether Britt Baker holds on to the championship or we have a new champion in Ruby Soho at AEW's Full Gear. That is the way I would set everything up. But how they set this up, well, even though Ruby Soho was in the main event of AEW Grand Slam, you basically just put her out to pasture now. Now comes the next opponent, unless the next segment on Dynamite you get Ruby Soho to come out wanting to have a match with you know, Dr. Britt Baker again. But we'll see what happens. Other than that, Grand Slam was tremendous. I think Grand Slam from this past Wednesday was an epic match. I saw some of the ones that happened. I think it was good that Sting and Darby Allin defeated FTR. FTR did a tremendous job with the matchup. MJF, we know MJF had to go over against Brian Pillman Jr., and I'm glad for that. And also, also, another thing, what was the other thing I was going to mention here? Damn, I think that was it. But anyways, the next one was Rampage. CM Punk defeated Powerhouse Hobbs. Great match, by the way. Great, epic match. I've already talked about all these matches here. They've already set up some matches that are going to take place over at AEW Dynamite this coming Wednesday. One of the matches I'm going to be interested in, and I wanted to let everybody know about this. I posted this out on my Main Event Talk Facebook page. I posted this on my Instagram and everything else like that. Now, I'm not going to reveal the store's name. The only reason why I don't want to reveal the store's name here is because the last thing I want is people to know where to get their AEW action figures. And I know some people are like, well, I can order it online. Well, yeah, but you'll be paying an extra $5, $10 just to get a toy that's worth only $20, right? You'll be paying $35 for a toy that you're trying to order, and I'll be paying something that's worth $20. So I went over to a store, and I was doing some grocery shopping, and then I happened to come across a couple of AEW action figures that no one had gotten their hands on just yet, and they've been sitting on the shelves for the past 2 weeks. So I decided, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and buy one of those AEW action figures. My first AEW action figure is Jungle Boy. And that's what I got right up here on my wall right now. And this is just the first of many AEW action figures that I plan on getting sometime in the next couple of weeks. Because if they're still sitting on that fucking shelf, I'm buying them off of this particular store. What store? I'll give you a hint. It's not Walmart. I'll tell you that right now. But anyways, that's my first AEW action figure. I'm glad that that happened and everything else like that. Speaking of Jungle Boy, he's going to be having a matchup against Adam Cole. And this is going to be... oh, this is going to be beautiful. This is going to be a great match. And I cannot wait to see this matchup. Jungle Boy versus Adam Cole. Practically, and I'm seeing this for the first time, Adam Cole would actually be facing off against his former self. Think about this. Because when I look at Jungle Boy, when I see how great this man is, how talented this individual is, a good-looking kid and everything, he reminds me a lot like a younger version of Adam Cole back in the Ring of Honor days, you know. And Adam Cole at that time, he was a young man trying to come up in the business. And if you think about this very closely, Adam Cole has come a long way. Everything from him being a part of the Bullet Club, to him winning world titles, to him being a part of NXT, and now him being a part of AEW, and now he's going up against pretty much himself in Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy, who I have a lot of love for, Luke Perry's son, all the potential in the world, soon to be a champion in his own right. I can't wait to see this matchup. Adam Cole versus Jungle Boy at Dynamite. Of course, Sammy Guevara will go one-on-one against the TNT champion, Miro. That should be an epic match to check out and everything. Man, I can't wait for what's going to happen on Dynamite. If you guys have not had an opportunity to see Grand Slam, you could probably check out those matches on YouTube. And no doubt, you could probably see it on the AEW channel on YouTube as well. Okay, so we got the Grand Slam part out of the way here. So now let's talk about the next thing, and that's Extreme Rules. Now, even though these are the matches that are going to take place, I'm going to probably give you my predictions on each and every one of these matches, you know, just to go ahead and get it out of the way here. Let me try and do something here real quick, because I'm trying to get into the whole shit. All right, here we go. Awesome. Okay, so here we go, right here. All right, so the first matchup here is Becky Lynch taking on Bianca Belair. Great matchup. For the SmackDown Women's Championship, obviously Becky Lynch is going to win this match. It would be nice to see Bianca Belair win the title. But a couple of predictions that I've been hearing, and I may go along with the rumors that people have been talking about. Obviously, Becky Lynch is going to win this match. I see this happening. But also, there's a possibility of a return. We could see the return of Sasha Banks. We haven't heard much from her in many, many weeks, ever since SummerSlam. So, expect a win from Becky Lynch against Bianca Belair. And also, expect Sasha Banks to possibly show up in this match, and it should be tremendous. Damian Priest defending the United States Championship against Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. Triple threat rules, word is, and I hope they do this. If they make this into a triple threat ladder match for the United States Championship at Extreme Rules, that would be epic as well. But as of right now, it's just a regular triple threat match for the United States Championship. This matchup, I'm going to actually go with Damian Priest. I'm going to definitely go with Damian Priest in this one. And also, the word is, they are also mentioning something about Keith Lee, and also something about Keith Lee possibly showing up at the end of the matchup, and they've been teasing some stuff about Keith Lee turning heel against on WWE, which I hope that happens, because we need to see a lot of Keith Lee and everything. And if he turns heel, he turns heel. That'll work out too. This one's going to be a strange match, but it's a strange match in the strangest way possible. Charlotte Flair defending the Raw Women's Championship against Alexa Bliss. Obviously, Charlotte Flair is going to win this matchup, unless they let Alexa Bliss win it, which I don't think is highly... Alexa Bliss winning wouldn't be a bad thing. But then again, I don't know. I mean, it would surprise me if Alexa Bliss did beat Charlotte Flair. But let's call it like we see it here. Let's get over the whole voodoo doll bullshit that you see from Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss has come very close to defeating Charlotte Flair. I know that because I saw the match of Survivor Series years ago. But that was years ago. Can Alexa Bliss still do that against Charlotte Flair? Or will Charlotte Flair be able to defeat Alexa and retain her Raw Women's Championship? The main event's prediction, I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair. I'm going to have her hold on to the championship for just a little while longer. Unless she loses the championship and decides to go ahead and go after it again and become a, 13, 14-time Women's Champion? We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. This other matchup right here, which will probably be the main event of Extreme Rules, Roman Reigns to take on Finn Balor, the Demon. Let me hold back on this one in a moment. I'll give you my thought on this one. Liv Morgan, the next matchup. This is going to be an epic tag match. I can't wait for this. The Usos defending the SmackDown Tag Team Championship against the Street Profits. Now, this is refreshing. Let me explain why. It's hard to see legitimate tag teams go after championships. It really is. Because when you think about this very, very closely, over on Monday Night Raw, who are the tag team champions there? Randy Orton and Riddle, who are basically both singles competitors. Even though they're called RKO, RK-Bro, if you will, and even though they are the Raw tag team champions, I still see them as singles competitors. The same applies with, you know, other teams that are just put together and you see them as singles wrestlers instead of as an actual tag team. Now, the Usos and the Street Profits, this is a different story. You've got two legitimate tag teams, two of the best of their generation. The Usos are possibly, to me, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Way better than the Young Bucks, by the way. And can actually be a team as opposed to looking like a couple of fucking goof-offs. I would pick the Bloodline over the Elite any day. You know why? Because while the Young Bucks look like they were dressed up in their parents' basement, the Usos look like grown-ass men that will beat the living shit out of you and leave you laying in your foundation. Because while the Young Bucks have their supposed AEW World Champion Kenny Omega, who shouldn't even be holding on to that title anyway, that looks like a fucking goof, Roman Reigns looking like a champion, acting like a champion, and is managed by a man who understands champion as opposed to a manager who looks like he came off of a fucking pink lemonade suit in Don Callis. But nonetheless, my prediction, Usos and Street Profits, I hope it goes to a time limit draw. I hope it does. Because this is a fucking badass tag team match. Two teams that are very similar. Two teams that will take it to the extreme, if you will. And I'll dig it. It would be way too obvious if the Usos win. But I think the Street Profits, you know... I say it's a time limit draw. Liv Morgan against Carmella. Who is better? I'm going with Liv Morgan. Simply because I like her better. She's way hotter. Way hotter than Carmella. And not to mention someone that deserves to be in the title picture as opposed to Carmella. That's just my opinion. That's just my thought. That's how it goes. The main event's going to go with Liv Morgan. Now, let me get back to Roman Reigns against the Demon here. I know there's some people that have asked me the question about whether or not they see Roman Reigns losing the championship or if they see Finn Balor winning the championship. To me, And I'll go with this because I think it's the right call. Obviously, if Roman Reigns wins it, I mean, it'll be. As a matter of fact, we're going on 390 days right now as Roman Reigns is being champion. Now, tomorrow when Extreme Rules happens, Roman Reigns will have held on to the title for 391 days as Universal Champion. Now, here's the thing. Now, Finn Balor has been, you know, former NXT champion, former Universal champion, former Intercontinental champion. Finn Balor has done it all. Now, everyone can talk about how Finn Balor, anytime he comes out with a demon persona, he becomes champion. For a big example, he defeated Bobby Lashley for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania as the demon. Okay? That's the truth. You know that. Now, for Roman Reigns, this will be interesting because I think what will happen is the prediction, everyone's going to go with Roman Reigns winning, obviously. But to me, I think we should go with Finn Balor. And the possibility of Brock Lesnar showing up could be a possibility as well. And plus, word is, we know that on October or November or one of those days or something like that, I'm trying to figure out what October 1st or 2nd, Brock Lesnar is supposed to take on the Universal Champion, which could be Roman Reigns or it could be Finn Balor. We'll see what happens over Crown Jewel. We'll see what happens there. But the main event's prediction, I mean, it's way too easy to go with Roman Reigns, so I'll go with the Demon. I'll go with Finn Balor. We'll see how that fucking goes and so much more. So that's pretty much all of the matches that are going to take place over at Extreme Rules. Get an opportunity to check it out while you can this Sunday. And no doubt there's going to be some more matches added to the card as Extreme Rules comes up this Sunday. Get an opportunity to check out Extreme Rules live as it happens on Peacock. See all these matches, Universal Championship matchup, Raw Women's Championship, SmackDown Women's Championship, the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, and so much more, and probably more matches to be added in the next couple of hours, next day, or the next couple of hours to see how it goes. Now, as always, follow the main event on Twitter, twitter.com/@main event player. You can also follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/@main event player. Follow, get all of the latest info going on in professional wrestling from on the Main Event Talk Facebook page at facebook.com/@realmaineventplayer. And if you want to become friends with me on Facebook, proceed at your own risk as always. Once again, big happy birthday shout out goes out to the best drummer on the planet, John Luna, to the big boss himself, Dominic, to Deborah Ledesma, Phoebe, as I like to call her, and I had to get that out of the way. And also, of course, to Gabriel Pantoja. Happy birthday to you guys. Big shout out over to Emo Night for an epic night. And don't forget to check out Emo Night as it happens. The return of Emo Night live Saturday, October 16th. It should be epic. Whether the main event is there or not, well, we'll see what happens. But anyways, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. I'll see you next time on another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. And that is it. Oh, and don't forget to check out UFC 266 over at Rich's Billiards tonight. Should be epic. Be ready for that. Why? Because I can and I want to. Any questions? Enough said. Let's continue on with the music. Off of the Rust in Peace album, the first song, this is Holy Wars, The Punishment Due.